Argument is Parker v. Astru. Mr. Schultz.
May it please the Court, Your Honors. Barry Schultz on behalf of Plaintiff Denise Parker. The decision of the Administrative Law Judge in this case, as with the last case I argued, is quite cursory. There are over 300 pages of medical records in this case, and most of them are relevant to the plaintiff's primary impairment of chronic pelvic pain. The Administrative Law Judge's decision consists of a few small paragraphs, while any type of analysis or summary consists of only a few very small paragraphs with very little analysis. ALJ does not talk about any of the treatment notes other than to note that several surgeries that the plaintiff underwent and the therapy that she underwent did not relieve any of her pain in any significant manner. But the ALJ does not discuss the treating doctor's notes themselves or the physical therapist or occupational therapist notes or observations, which are critical in this case. The ALJ found that Ms. Parker's pain was well out of proportion to any objective findings. But in order to reach that type of conclusion, an ALJ would have to know what type of objective findings one would expect given the underlying impairment. Yet, the ALJ in this case provides no assessment or discussion indicating that she is aware of what findings one would expect for a person suffering from disabling pain from the condition of chronic pelvic pain. As we pointed out in our brief, 60% of women who are diagnosed with this condition never get a diagnosis for what is the actual underlying cause of the pain. So there may well not be any specific objective evidence that one would expect to find. So relying on the fact that the pain is out of proportion to the objective evidence does not properly analyze the case of a woman with this condition. Similarly, according to the Mayo Clinic and the National Institutes of Health, 25% of women with this condition are bedridden at least 3 days a month. So Ms. Parker's testimony about the severity of her pain is consistent with those websites and not inconsistent. And again, the ALJ doesn't indicate an understanding of the condition. And kind of taking the other route, there is evidence in this case that one would call objective evidence that the ALJ fails to discuss. The occupational therapist in this case performed a test called an SEMG or a surface EMG test, which indicated profound weakness in the pelvic floor muscles. The physical therapist also noted that the strength in the pelvic floor muscles was 0 over 5 or 1 over 5, extremely weak. And then Dr. Davidoff, one of the treating physicians, indicated that the muscle floor weakness may well be the cause of Ms. Parker's pain. Despite that, the ALJ just found that the pain was out of proportion to the objective findings without discussing any of this evidence. The ALJ also found that, quote, one would expect that the claimant's hysterectomy or oophorectomy would have given her some relief, but those procedures did not. Again, the ALJ seems to rely on that as her analysis for finding the plaintiff not entirely credible, but yet certainly Ms. Parker and her doctors hoped that those surgical procedures would provide her relief, but the fact that they didn't provide her relief isn't the basis to discredit the claimant's testimony. In fact, what the ALJ seems to fail to discuss or analyze in her case is why would somebody undergo a hysterectomy and a oophorectomy or removal of the ovaries and laparoscopic exploratory surgeries and lysis of adhesions and physical therapy, 2 separate rounds, and occupational therapy if they weren't really experiencing the severe debilitating pain that they alleged. The ALJ also seems to rely on the fact that the plaintiff, plaintiff admitted at the hearing that she only went to a pain management clinic one time and didn't follow up. But the only testimony regarding that is the plaintiff's testimony, which is that she went to the pain management clinic, they gave her a prescription, but the prescription was unable to be filled, and she didn't know why. She thought maybe it was an insurance problem. Then at page 279 of the record, one of the treating doctors, Dr. Murthy, stated that the plaintiff was rejected by the pain management clinic twice and that she was going to be referred again. So if she's rejected by the pain management clinic, that's not a and we don't know why. Could be because of insurance. That's not a basis for discrediting the plaintiff's testimony or finding that her pain wasn't as severe as she testified. The only other statement made by the ALJ concerning the analysis of credibility or the functional capacity of this claimant was that she was using a cane that no physician prescribed for her. But now the commissioner in their brief says that the ALJ actually wasn't relying on that as a negative point. And if that's true, if we accept the commissioner at his word, then that's not a basis for affirming the ALJ's decision. And in any event, in the Terry case, this court held that the fact that a claimant or patient chooses to use an assistive device to help relieve them of pain isn't a basis for discrediting their credibility. No, those are really the only, that's the only analysis by the ALJ in this case, despite the numerous doctors that this woman saw and the numerous treatment that she underwent. The other main point that we raised is that we believe that the opinion of Dr. Quadri, one of the plaintiff's treating physicians, should have been given controlling weight, or at least was entitled to great weight, and that the ALJ failed to properly evaluate the doctor's opinion. Dr. Quadri indicated that Ms. Parker could only lift 5 pounds and that she could only sit, stand, and walk in combination for 3 hours a day. Now, that opinion was consistent with the testimony of Ms. Parker, who indicated she most of the day she spent laying down with her legs elevated because that was really the only comfortable position for her. The commissioner and district court both heavily rely on the fact that there are state agency doctors' opinions which gave different functional capacity assessments for Ms. Parker. But probably most critically is that the ALJ doesn't mention those doctors' opinions. She doesn't say she relies on them. She ignores them altogether. And because she ignored them, the district court should not have relied on those opinions in affirming the ALJ's decision, and the commissioner should not be arguing that those state agency doctor opinions support the ALJ's decision. It's certainly possible that the ALJ ignored them because those doctors gave their opinions in 2003, and the record contains 3 years of additional evidence, including the fact that the plaintiff underwent the oophorectomy, the physical therapy, the occupational therapy, saw other numerous doctors. The state agency doctors would not have been aware of any of that evidence. In cases of Gudgell versus Barnhart and Miles versus Astru, this court has held that the opinions of non-examining physicians standing alone does not constitute substantial evidence contrary to a treating physician's opinion. And given the numerous examinations in this case, that every doctor who examined Ms. Parker indicated that she suffered from chronic pelvic pain, most of them indicated that it was debilitating or disabling. Very often, they couldn't even do the exam because her pain was so great. Twice in this record, it establishes the claimant had to be put under anesthetic in order for them to even do an examination. And all of this evidence is consistent with the opinion of Dr. Quadri, and it should have been accepted by the ALJ. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Ms. Rajkarn? Rajkarni?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Deepa Rajkarni on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security. Opposing counsel raises three main issues, the first of which is the ALJ's credibility finding. In her decision, the ALJ explicitly referred to the reasons for which she referred in supporting her credibility finding. First, the record.
What's the objective medical evidence that she thought absent? What does that mean, objective medical evidence of pain?
Your Honor, the objective, that was one of.
A lot of cases about that. Just because you can't see pain on an X-ray doesn't mean that ALJ can dismiss pain complaints.
Your Honor, the commissioner agrees with that position. In fact, the ALJ did.
What do you mean by objective medical evidence, then? She says that she has this piece of boilerplate about credibility, She says not supported by objective medical evidence. So what is that about?
Your Honor, one of the reasons, as you point out, was for the credibility determination was the reliance on objective findings. There are several objective findings to which the ALJ refers to in her decision. First of all, there were various surgeries that took place. There was occupational therapy. There was physical therapy that did not help alleviate the chronic pelvic pain, which I will point out that it was deemed a severe...
The ALJ's position. I don't understand you.
The ALJ lists
a lot of procedures that don't work. She still has the pain. How does that show she doesn't have the pain? I don't get that.
Your Honor, the commissioner's position is not that she didn't have chronic pelvic pain. Chronic pelvic pain, etiology unknown, was deemed a severe impairment.
What is the objective medical evidence that he's looking for, that she is looking for, the ALJ is looking for? I don't get it.
That was one of the various surgeries, the therapies. They didn't alleviate the pain.
Her. That doesn't refute her. I don't understand.
It's only one of the factors that was considered in assessing Ms. Parker's credibility.
What is missing? What is it the ALJ is looking for that isn't there? I don't understand.
Your Honor, with all of the treating sources, the treating physicians, as well as the non-physicians of record, there was only one physician, Dr. Quadri, who set forth highly restrictive limitations. For example, Dr. Quadri said that Ms. Parker could not lift anything more than 5 pounds, whereas the state agency physicians...
Now, wait a second. The state agency physicians, they weren't relied on by the ALJ. You are familiar with the Chenery Doctrine, aren't you?
Yes, Your Honor. However, it's the commissioner's position that this was not post hoc rationalization. The ALJ expressly stated that the ALJ considered all of the evidence, including the opinion
ALJ
evidence.
Didn't discuss any of those state physician reports, did she?
The ALJ did not expressly rely on Dr. McDermott or Dr. Baumblatt's assessments in 2003. However, the agency did state...
You're relying on it.
However, Your Honor, the ALJ expressly stated on AR-20, she stated she considered the objective medical evidence and opinion evidence per 20 CFR section 404.1527. That particular section refers to state agency reviewing physicians.
So now you're saying that all an ALJ has to do is say, I've read the record, I've relied on everything that's contrary to the applicant, and then... That's all she has to do, in your view.
Your Honor, here the evidence was...
As long as she just mentions something in the record, no analysis or no reliance on it, or just that gives you free rein in your brief to basically construct another ALJ opinion.
No, Your Honor, that's not the commissioner's position. Here the commissioner is arguing that the ALJ did rely on all of the physicians of record, not only the state agency reviewing physicians. The commissioner agrees that that would not have been appropriate to only rely on non-examining physicians. However, here, there were various physicians that did find that Ms. Parker was diagnosed with chronic pelvic pain, etiology unknown. Opposing counsel referred to Dr. Davidoff. Specifically, Dr. Davidoff said that Ms. Parker's facial affect did not match her pain complaints. So overall,
so did but this is not something that the ALJ said, did she? Did I miss that?
The ALJ did refer to the fact that various
facial
doctors.
Point, this facial point you made, is that somewhere in here?
No, Your Honor. However, because opposing counsel had pointed out.
Why isn't it in there, the thing about the facial? That sounds like good evidence. Why isn't that in there? How do we know the ALJ thought it was significant?
The ALJ did refer to various exhibits.
How do we know she thought that was significant?
The commissioner's position would be that we don't know for sure that the ALJ thought that was the most significant thing.
You're not supposed to make findings in substitution for the ALJs.
Your Honor, it's our position, it's the commissioner's position
and
that...
They shouldn't have this boilerplate in here about credibility either.
Here, the credibility determination was not based simply on the objective.
Apparently, these ALJs have decided to adopt a boilerplate credibility paragraph, which is extremely unprofessional.
Your Honor, the commissioner referred to the regulations and the Social Security rules.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the credibility paragraph.
Correct, referring to SSR 96-7P.
I'm not referring to anything.
There are, Your Honor, the commissioner would like to set forth the other reasons why the credibility finding was made. First of all, there were no records that were included from August 2000 through February 2003, whereas the alleged onset date was August 2000. In fact, at the hearing, Ms. Barker testified that she had severe, constant, intractable pain since August of 2000. However, there are no records whatsoever.
Where did the ALJ say this?
At AR 20, Your Honor, the ALJ notes that there were no records existent before 2003. There was referral to a hysterectomy that took place in 2000. However, that was referred to in documents later by Dr. Chambers, who was Ms. Barker's gynecologist. But that was a significant factor in assessing Ms. Barker's severe constant intractable pain. For 3 years that she had this severe constant intractable pain, there were no records to support that. So that was another. It wasn't simply the lack of objective evidence.
Since there are no records that go back further than 2003?
Correct.
That's what you're...
At the transcript AR 20.
This is 4 years later. So what is the significance of the missing records? I don't understand.
The significance of the missing records, Your Honor, is that that Ms. Barker had alleged that she had constant pain since August of 2000, and there were no records to support that constant pain for 3 years. So that was the factor that the ALJ considered when making her credibility finding.
I don't see that. I don't see where she connects the ab. All she says is no records in the file that go back, but there is notation, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. She's just making a remark about this, about the state of the record. Are you saying that the absence of the, that somehow she thought the absence of the records was bore on the credibility of the, where is that?
Your Honor, this was an observation by the ALJ, and then
it's all up.
At AR,
there is nothing in that observation to suggest a skepticism about her credibility.
Your Honor, the commissioner.
Where does she connect the absence of records to credibility, in her opinion?
On AR 20, she did.
Not on AR 20. There's nothing about credibility on AR 20.
The ALJ makes her credibility assessment on AR 21 and 22.
And where is the reference to the missing records?
She does, while there isn't anything expressed on that certain
there
page.
There isn't anything implied either.
She does state that since 2003, plaintiff has tried physical therapy and occupational therapy that didn't work. But this, again, goes back to the lack of objective medical evidence. That was one thing that the ALJ relied on. Additionally, the ALJ did bring up the fact that she only visited a pain management clinic once. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Well, he gave an explanation for that. What's your response? Or what is her response? What is the ALJ's response?
The ALJ's response would be that...
Would be? Wait a minute. What was it?
The ALJ's response was that there...
Where is this? Where are you looking?
On AR-22, the ALJ states that Ms. Barker admitted at the hearing that she never followed up with a pain clinic after one visit.
That's right, and your opponent gave an explanation.
The commissioner disagrees with that and finds that explanation
to be... Where does the commissioner disagree with his explanation?
In our brief, we...
In your brief. I'm not interested in your brief. I'm interested in what the ALJ had to say about this pain clinic.
That was the sole thing that the ALJ said.
So how do we know that she didn't go back to the pain clinic because she didn't have insurance, they didn't want her, they wouldn't take her, what have you? How do we know that?
Your Honor, she was represented by counsel at the hearing. She did not state anything along those lines. That's important to consider. Ms. Parker raises a Kraft v. Astru case in her reply brief, and there, it's an entirely distinguishable case. There,
okay, fine, it's distinguishable. Accept that. Okay, thank you, Ms. Rashkarni. Mr. Schultz, any more?
No,
well, thank you very much.